It's a great honor to be here. Well, it's just a little while ago, Pastor Dan's daddy called me in South Carolina. He said, "Brother Tetro, we understand you're leaving Greenville, South Carolina after 11 years. We want to start a school." That was in 73. "And we'd like you to consider being our administrator." I told Brother Mike Reese, "It's a good thing I didn't come. He'd have never been in here." I can't believe it. You folks are about 70 miles from my boyhood farm. But God's hand was in it. He led us to start a new school in Memphis, Tennessee, with 460 kids. And after 6 years, God broke my heart, burdened my heart for the West. And 4 months after being in Arizona, Dr. Singleton said, "Let's talk about a Bible college." I said, "Well, I'm a graduate of two. Which one do you want to talk about?" He had another one in mind. And so we've just finished 38 years there. I couldn't believe it. Next Sunday, our young people are with you. And I thank the Lord for that. Now, I made a little list here because I would like not to forget things that I should say. And I appreciate your sound and sight people. I have a clicker. We will use a PowerPoint. If we have time, we'll do it as a review. I'll set it over here. But my boss, Dr. Mike Sproul, is over in Germany for a couple more days. If he makes one more promotion in the Air Force, he'll be a general. He's responsible for the reserve chaplains, and literally for America and much of the world. And he sends us greetings. It was a thrill for him to be here earlier this year. Thank you for receiving him. I said one of my claims to fame, maybe my claim to fame, is that I signed his high school diploma. And then 4 years later, his bachelor's, and 10 years later, his doctoral degree. So here I am, a Michigan farm boy. By the way, if any of you can tell me where I could buy some little white navy beans, I'd like to do that. In the West, we eat pinos. I'd like to acquaint our folks with real beans. I got in town a little early yesterday, and I went to your farmer's market. Now, those flowers are pretty, and the syrup was tempting, but I was there to find navy beans, and I couldn't find them. That was our number one money crop north of Bad Axe. Enough of that. Okay, I'm not selling these, and the young people probably have them, so if I run out of them, you can see them next Sunday. But here's a brand new CD, Mercy Flows. We have the same kind of music you do. And right here, our eyes are upon you, Lord. And a gift of $10 would get you either one of those, or $15 would get you both of them. And if you don't have it, beg me, and maybe I can come up with the money. I want to thank the Luths for receiving me. Blessing being with them. And I have in my hand one of 1,000 track holders. Now, I only brought, I think, about 40. I brought 60 with me, but I'll need a few for Grayling, and I've given some out already. This will be at the end of the message. I'll talk to you about it. But I hope you won't take one if you don't plan to carry gospel tracts and give them out. Do you know the problem with a Bible reading chart? There's one in here. It won't read your Bible. You know the problem with a missionary prayer card? I'm a teacher. I'd like you to answer me. It won't pray for the missionary. And the problem with the track holder? It won't give out gospel tracts. We have a handout in the bulletin. Did anybody not get the bulletin? And the title of our challenge this morning, Bible Message is a Charge to Keep. Anybody not get one? Raise your hand, please. I'd like you to have it. I'm an educator, and we come to knowledge through the senses. The eye gate, the ear gate, the sense of touch, the sense of taste, or sense of smell. And when I do these, and Kathy did a good job with this. When I do these, I always like to put a few blanks in there so you can write out some important words. It's 2 years ago I was with you last, and I stopped to see my younger sister in Grayling, and she says to me, "Jer, I want to give you a book. It's a great blessing to me." Well, I've used it daily for 2 years. I've beaten it up pretty bad, so I stopped in Grand Rapids, and I bought their last copy at that Bible bookstore. It's a book that tells the story of one hymn a day, 365 days. October 4, the hymn was "A Charge to Keep." And as I read about that, and you can follow me here if you look at your insert, it talked about this fact that Charles Wesley was wanting to write a hymn for the church. And he had been reading Matthew Henry's commentary. I have my Bible open to Leviticus 8. I hope you'll open your Bible to Leviticus chapter 8. We have been, by the way, the book of Leviticus, one of Moses' five books. The book of Leviticus addressed things pertaining to the Levites. And in this eighth chapter, we read about the consecration of offerings, of the blood applied, of the hands filled, of the anointing of the priests in verse 30. In verse 31 of Leviticus 8, the food of the priests. And then we come to verse 33. Here's the consecration. The priest separated unto God. And he shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you, as he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that ye die not, for so I'm commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Well, you know, Nadab and Abihu, they didn't follow God's direction and they died. Matthew Henry had this to say: yes, this was a charge for the priest to keep. And then he went on to say, you and I have a charge. Young people, graduates, church members, visitors, we have a charge to keep. And I've been very humbled by this. I put together some of these thoughts. I was speaking in Castro Valley. It was the church where one of the Winnegar men used to pastor, Foothill Baptist Church. Dr. George Motok had pastored a church of 600 in Romania. He finished his doctorate with us. I was speaking for him, and I mentioned we have a charge to keep. And he stood at the end of the service and said, "Folks, we have this hymn in our hymn book. Let's sing it." And as folks were turning to it, he said, "You know, when George W. Bush was being inaugurated, Washington, D.C., at the Washington Cathedral, President 41, his father, President Bush, handed George W. a letter. And in that letter he said, 'Son, I had a charge to keep and I kept it. You have a charge to keep. Keep it.'" Well, I thought I have to do a little more. I have to take a further look at this. I found out George W. Bush had written an autobiography, and I have it with me. I learned about that at the end of the year, and I got it and read it. I was greatly moved. So I wrote President George W. Bush. I said, "Sir, I had the honor of serving in the Navy under Kennedy. Years later, I gave a Scofield Bible to President Nixon. And in 2001, you invited me to the White House. You wanted to meet with leaders of faith ministries. Now, I was getting ready to ride my bicycle from Germany across France, almost 700 miles. And I thought, I don't have time to go to Washington, D.C. And I changed my mind. I said, when will I ever get another invitation to go to the White House? I said, sir, I wish I would have known about your value system. Have any of you read this book, George W. Bush, A Charge to Keep? Have any of you read it? Any hands? I don't want to spoil it for you. I will tell you it can be life-changing. I said, President Bush, if I would have known about your value system as the governor of Texas, my meeting with you would have meant far more to me than those previous meetings. My wife and I had been in Florida on the platform with Reagan just before he became president. I would like to tell you more about this book, but I mustn't do it. But I wrote George Bush, and I didn't know which of two addresses to send it to. So I sent the same letter to two addresses, and I got two letters back from him. I got a card and a letter, and I treasure that. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about your charge. Because Matthew Henry said, yeah, the priests had a charge to keep, and if they didn't keep it, they would die. Well, you and I are going to die. And we have a charge to keep. And here's what Matthew Henry said. By the way, maybe in the handout you've already noticed. No, I didn't put it in. Charles Wesley had written 16 hymns for the church, inspired by verses from the book of Leviticus. But going back to the handout, Matthew Henry had said, we have a threefold charge to keep. And these are my 3 points. First of all, to glorify God. Now, I really appreciated your music service. Secondly, he said to provide for the soul. I've changed those words. And I put in here to protect soul. And thirdly, to reach, he said, our current generation. I simplified it by saying to reach others. Here's what I was driven to in my mind. Man was created, you can fill in the blank, to reflect God. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let's make man in our image and likeness. So young people, here's your charge. Your life ought to reflect God's values. Paul said, you mimic me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So if people watch you, you're from a Christian home, you claim to be one of Christ's followers, how much of Christ will folks see in your life? Wow, it's only 60 years ago this, right now, that I finished high school, 1957. What do people think of when they think of you? What about your value system? What do you read? What do you love? I want to tell you what I told Bush in that letter. I said, sir, what we put in our mind forms our values. Values drive our conduct. Okay, I don't do very well in this techie society. I try to get into it. I was amazed. A few months ago, I read about how folks at different generations communicate. Now, my generation is called the forgotten generation. You know how we like to communicate? Face to face. The next generation, they're happy on the phone. Now, I know there are exceptions to this rule. The next generation, they're happy with emails. The younger generation is into texting. And to now, I don't know what you call it. They're happy just to send a smiley face. I say, what in the world is this? Well, what are you putting in your mind? What are you feeding on? See, I want you to think in this message about three things, and then we're going to focus on number two. The first is to glorify God. The second is to guard your mind. And the third is to reach others. What will you spend the rest of your days or years doing? Well, I said here at the close of that introduction, God had said, let's make man in our image and likeness. I admit here, regrettably, in Genesis 3, man fell. We read of it in Genesis 3. I want to tell you something about this great God who created man in his image and likeness. I enjoyed Brother Chuck's Sunday school lesson this morning. I don't know if he knows how to pronounce his last name. I'm not sure I know how to do it either. But I grew up with a lot of Polish people, and I learned that you don't call a headscarf, you call it a babushka. But in Baruski Russian, that means grandmother. Anyway, Brother Chuck made this mention this morning in his class, God is a God of justice and grace. What is this? Feifelski? I don't know how they pronounce it. Anyway, I want to tell you about God. Listen to me. I can speak to you in Hebrew. But I want to tell you in Hebrew about God. I can take you different places to show it to you. He is loving and he is judging. What is said in Hebrew about God the Father is said about Jesus. Listen to John 1:14. It's talking about, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of, can you help me? Grace and truth. Now that came into English from Greek, and it's the same thing that came into English from Hebrew. God the Father is loving, chesed, and He is emet. We say amen. The Hebrew emet means the same thing as our man. If the preacher says something, we said, oh, that rings a bell. That's solid. We say, amen. The Greeks say, amen. The Hebrews said, amet. They all come from the root, aman. Aman, that's the capital of Jordan. But it means true, faithful, just. So I've been studying Turkish. I was in Turkey three times. The first time in 1961, I drove through Turkey and Greece. I was younger then. And I know of Christian Turks witnessing to Muslims, and they make the point that God can be pictured as a closed fist and as an open hand. I just gave a tract to a Muslim, and he said he would read it. And I said, you know, God is judging and he's loving. And there's one bridge between the judging God who is loving, and that bridge is Jesus Christ. So, wait a minute. If we're supposed to reflect him, when people look at you, do they see that you stand for truth? You live righteously before others, but you're understanding, you're patient, you're loving with others. Young people, you want to watch Christian leaders? You want to watch Christian ministries? Some of them will emphasize love and they're soft on doctrine. Others will be solid in proclaiming truth, but they're not loving. Hey, we need both. Well, we better move on. So, the first point here, I have glorified God. And I make the point, man is created in the image of God. Have you recognized your sinner? That was precious to see the baptism today. As a sinner, Romans 5:10, we're the enemy of God. But how special? Jesus died for sinners. You know, I see both of those overarching attributes of God in that first point. Yeah, because I'm a sinner and God is holy, I'm in trouble. But when Jesus went to the cross, he satisfied both God's holiness and man's need for God to be loving. They met at Calvary. So, sinner friend, if you're here today and you don't know that you've ever come to know Jesus in the Bible way, you need to turn to Jesus in repentance and faith, trusting only what he did to provide for your salvation. You know, baptism, we saw it today, it's the first act of obedience. There's your blank. And identification with Jesus. The local church is God's preferred means of doing his kingdom work today. So you know what? We ought to join it. And then we ought to pitch in. My wife and I were married in 1960. Don't try to guess her age because she wasn't born yet. Anyway, I was on my way from 13 months of intercepting the Russians to going to the northeast corner of the Mediterranean, where I would spend 2 years intercepting Israeli spies operating out of Egypt. And from the time of our marriage, because we'd both been brought up in Christian homes, giving was not a problem for her. I want to tell you folks, I don't know what you're doing about finances. Pastor Dan didn't ask me to say this, but you know what the tithe is? It's the starting point. If you study the Old Testament, there were three tithes. Every year, 10% was given to support priests and Levites. Every year, 10% was given to support feasts and festivals. And every third year, 10% was given to take care of the widows, the orphans. In my math, that's 23 1/3%. So it was okay with Kit when we moved to 15%, 18%, 21%, 23%. Now, I'll lose my reward in heaven, but our finance guy told us this past year we gave almost 40%. I'm not saying we'll do that this year. I was surprised. Hey, wait a minute. What are you living for? What do you love? Now, we used to write checks. In fact, we used to write. If you were writing checks, you could give me your checkbook and I would have a pretty good idea what you love. What are you reading? All right, I told you I was in Adak, Alaska. Somebody heard me say it. I got on my knees August the 20th, 1959, asked God to forgive me for not having done right about the Bible. At the Bad Axe High School, I carried a King James Version and a Douay Version. The Catholics read, I wanted to show my Catholic friends the same plan of salvation. But I had not done right about the Bible. I asked God to help me. I was a poor reader. I was working full time, but I read through the Bible in 2 months and 6 days. Started August 20th, finished October 26th. The overflow of Scripture literally led to the salvation of fellow servicemen, and I saw sailors and Marines. I watched their lives change. That wasn't me. It was the Word of God. What are you doing about the Bible? Do you know that if you read at the normal rate, if you read 11 minutes a day, you'll run out of Bible before you run out of year? I teach speed reading every year in the Bible college, and generally I have students starting at 250 and in 9 lessons, they'll read over 1,000 words a minute, some of them. 2 years ago, a gal went up to over 2,000 words a minute. That's how Kennedy read. If you read the Bible out loud, I led young people in Tennessee 3 years in a row to do it. The first year we read the whole Bible out loud in a little over 72 hours, a little over 70, a little over 71, a little over 70. But see, I told President Bush, sir, what you put in your mind forms your values. And values drive conduct. I'll tell you why we see such weird conduct today. People are not putting the Bible in their minds. Roman numeral 2, protect your soul. Now, the Hebrew word is lev. It appears over 600 times in the Old Testament. It's often translated heart. But here's the deal. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We think of the mind when we think of this word. So you might think, when you see lev, you might think of soul or mind. Roman numeral 3, the third point, reach others. This is the threefold charge. Glorify God, guard your mind, and reach others. I believe the Great Commission was given to the local church. That's your blank. Are you a member? You need to contribute. Guard your tongue. How are you using your tongue? Do you use it to witness for others? 1 year ago now, I was teaching for 2 weeks in Kenya. On my way to Kenya, I flew from Amsterdam to Nairobi. And I'll let you in on something I have fun with. When I'm on the airplane, especially on an international flight, I look for someone's doing a good job, and then I let them know I'm going to write the airlines and brag on them. Hetty was doing a good job. I said, Hetty, I want to write KLM, but I'm going to do it my way, not the modern way. I'm not going to text it. I want a piece of paper and a pencil. We used to write. And I said, I'm going to give it to your boss if your boss is on this plane. And if your boss's supervisor is on here, I want to give it to the boss's supervisor. You know what? I'm doing something scriptural for Christians. Ephesians 4 says that for the Christian, there are things they're supposed to put off and other things they're supposed to put on. Let me tell you something we're supposed to put off. Dirty talk. You want it in King James. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What's that verse mean? We ought to be using our language not for the bad, not in gossip, not to tear down. We ought to be using it to build up. So a little bit later, here I am in the back of the plane with Hattie, her supervisor, and the big boss. I carry gospel tracts in multiple languages, so guess what? I got to give one of them a track in French, one a track in German, one a track in English, and I don't remember the fourth one. You know, if you will be complimentary, it's amazing what people will do when you hand them a track and say, listen, this means a lot to me. They all said they would read it. So what are you doing, and young people that are finishing, what will you be doing this summer about reaching others? I don't have time to deal with the last half of the message. You can do it yourself. This has to do with guarding your mind. I tell the story from 1 Kings 18 and 19. Protecting the soul, guarding the mind. See, in 18, Elijah... In this passage, chapter 19, he didn't protect his soul. You fill in the blank, Roman numeral 5. He had destroyed 450 prophets on Mount Carmel. In Roman numeral 6, Elijah, hearing about the coming rain, told Ahab to prepare his chariot, go down to Israel. And you know what? It's 20 miles, 15 to 25, we're not sure. But he ran. He outran that chariot. You talk about a guy that could hike the canyon with me. At the beginning of 19, Ahab told Jezebel. Oh, no, I guess it's Jezebel. I prefer to say Jezebel. Ahab told his wife what Elijah had done. She said, well, she didn't like that. Let that man know that he'd be dead in 24 hours. Now, what is it? Here's a prophet, a holy man of God who just had great victory, and now he turns to fear, and he takes off and runs to Beersheba. Sheva is the Hebrew word for seven. He runs to Beersheba. He'd already run, 20 miles. If you read that passage, you'll find it in Beersheba. He leaves his partner, and he goes another 15 or 20 miles. He was literally exhausted. And he said, oh God, just take my life. Look at Roman numeral 7, little letter A. God let Elijah sleep. Gave him something to eat, water to drink. We probably ought to be drinking a little more water and a little less caffeine. Uh-oh, I enjoyed coffee this morning. He ate, he got some sleep, he got some food, he drank some water, and if you'll study that again, he got more of that. Hey, listen, if you're going to guard your mind, young people, if you're going to think right, you need to get some rest. You need to learn to eat right. You need to drink right. Anyway, you see what I said there in 7a? God provided for Elijah's physical need. Sleeping, eating, drinking, and a healthy physical... Oh, and then he said, by the way, I want you to go down to Horeb. And if you'll take a look at the distance, God told him to travel an average of 5 miles a day. Not a 140-mile run. So here's the deal. If we don't take care of our mind, how can we glorify God? How can we reach others? So I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do with your charge? You know, we're going to have a hard time glorifying God if we're not in a good, solid, Bible-believing, preaching, fundamental, separated, New Testament, Baptist church. What are we going to do about outreach if we don't guard our mind? So, if you would like one of these little track holders, see, I just did my 31st descent the last Thursday of April to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It was not 21 miles, it was 20.99 miles on my iPhone. Pretty close to 21. Getting ready each year to hike the Grand Canyon, I do a lot of preparation hikes. So I try to be on South Mountain 5 in the morning, at least 3 mornings a week. And I'll do 5, 7, 10, 15-mile hikes. And I love to have young people with me, but I carry gospel tracts in multiple languages because in the winter, there are people who want to get out of the snowbank and they go to Florida or they come to Arizona. What do you suppose a track looks like after it's been in your pocket for 10 miles? It's a little wet, and it gets dog-eared. I'll never forget a little over a year ago, here were two couples from Canada. I speak a little French. So, et vous ne parlez pas français? And you don't speak French. Oh, they did. They were French people. So I said, I'm sorry that my paper is wet and it's a little dog-eared, but I've been carrying this for 3 weeks and I just found you. They all thanked me and they took it. Do you carry tracts? Now, you ladies carry a mechanical tool chest. I can't believe how many different sizes my wife has. I hope you have tracks in there. I hope you have tracks in your automobile. I hope you have them near the front door. More importantly, I hope you're burdened to reach others.